Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Adam Feiner of the News Tribune. And before Adam and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of his conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
Just what has the vibe been like in practice this week? I imagine it's been pretty good compared to previous weeks.
Since Saturday, you know, just a little sigh of relief of just being able to get a victory, being able to have some success at things that, you know, in the Helias game, we thought that we, you know, some things was open and, you know, we're dropping balls, we're not getting the right throws. And then finally, you know, saying, but we felt good about the possibility of those things happening. We was living off that in this game. You know, we try those some of the same things, and then we actually catch the balls. We actually hitting holes and things of that nature. So it felt good and actually, you know, have some success at what we were doing.
Just kind of talk about how the offense feels, too. Obviously, they enjoy a big game. How the defense feels as well moving into this week.
Well, I think defensively it's back to business as normal. Like, you know, and those guys have been working hard for us all year, and so it felt good to, you know, get kind of a reward for their hard work. And we kind of really dedicated that game to a lot of people, but defensively we were happy to kind of give them some help and assistance. Offensively, man, it was good to score. It was good to score, and I think a lot of the kids got hungry. Even during the game, they were like, "Hey, I want the ball. I want to score too." So it became infectious to get something done and be that guy. You know, sometimes you look around and you like, early in the season, it was like everybody didn't want to, you know, be the person that had to look at the ball in and catch it. But you know, after we were having success, everybody wanted the ball and kind of wanted to be a part of the success. So.
Talk about keys for this week as far as Winnetonka. I'd imagine starting fast like you did last week would be on. What are some other keys against them?
I think just understanding that we can have success, just doing the right things, knowing where to go, believe it's going to happen. It's been our mantra for the past 2-3 weeks. It's just we got to know what we're doing. We got to know that we have the tools to do them, and then we have to believe that it's going to happen, and then, you know, believe that it's going to happen in a positive manner. So that's the thing we've been living off of for the past 2 weeks, and that's going to be the going thing for the rest of the season.
I know last week, just looking at the box score too, something you've been good in is limiting penalties. A lot of penalties this past week. Is that something that's you feel like is going to be corrected this week, scheme and timing?
Definitely. And just it was a, you know, a couple penalties happened on, you know, just things that we need to continue to just work on. I think we got a couple penalties keeping the football, you know, keeping the football after a score or something like that. Just certain things that didn't happen for us normally that we, you know what I'm saying, we kind of didn't practice for that. I should have known as a head coach, we probably need to help them understand what happens after each, you know, plays when it's successful.
Sure.
It's funny to say, but yeah.
Yeah. You take a look at Winnetonka on film, just what stands out to you about them? Obviously a tough opponent, perennial power.
Yeah, I really, you know, we've seen teams have success against them, though. You know, and I think that our guys, even though we lost the Helias game, I think that Helias was a measuring stick for a lot of our guys to say, hey, you know, a team as good as that, you know, they kind of Helias was kind of goals. And so when they had success against them, they were like, hey, I can play this way against anybody. And it kind of gave them confidence. Like I said, even though we didn't win that game or didn't have the successes we needed to be in that game, I think the guys seeing that this can happen to anybody if I do this. You know what I mean? It kind of rolled off there. Things started clicking after that.
Just what exactly, some things in particular, are you guys going to have to do to win again on Friday?
Play with confidence. We have all the tools. Our kids, I mean, we have players. I mean, you can talk about Winnetonka has, they have a good receiver. They have a quarterback that can throw the ball. I like their running back. And, you know, defensively they have some outside linebackers that can give you problems. But we have good guys, too. And so we're going to see what happens on the field. I'm pretty confident about who we have and the success we can have with our guys. So especially right now with these guys playing with confidence, I think we can get anybody in our district and who we play on our schedule right now.
All right, that was Capital City head coach Joe Collier. And Adam, for the first time this year, we get to talk about a victory. Let's start with, just a commanding performance. 46-6 win over Sedalia Smith Cotton. Let's start with the offense. 46 by far the most they've scored at any game this year.
Yes.
So what did we see from that side of the ball that, you know, led them to be able to have that much success?
We saw a fast start.
Okay.
Really. You get a fourth down stop to open the game. Obviously, that gives you momentum. And then you go right down the field. And then you get another turnover, and it goes right down the field. Quite honestly, and I hate to turn this into a negative for Capital City, but that's what teams have done against them the last 2 years,
sure,
is pounce on mistakes, pounce on short fields. Even this season, we've seen it. So it was neat to see Capital City kind of really flip the script completely and do that to someone else.
Sure.
And a big word this week has been confidence. That absolutely gives every side of the ball confidence.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, again, that's we kind of expected it from the standpoint of, while Capital City is now 1-6 overall and 1-4 in the CMAC, it's a Smith Cotton team that's now 1-6 and 0-5. So it's not like it was surprising, but again, you know, that's what you need to do in a game like that. So again, when you're taking care of things, what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to score 46 against a team that's struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You're also supposed to hold them down and only give them a 6, which is what you're supposed to do against a team that's also struggling to score. So from that standpoint, what did you see from the defense that was encouraging? And again, was it just a matter of just doing what they should have done?
Yeah, it's a matter of execution, of course. Really, you look at the big plays. 7 tackles for loss, 6 sacks, 2 safeties on consecutive possessions, 2 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles and recoveries. I mean, it's those big plays that really get the opposing offense behind the downs. Then you're able to rush the passer more. Then you're able to take more chances defensively if you're the secondary, as far as stepping in front of people, stepping in front of receivers. They wreaked havoc. I mean, it was almost jailbreak blitzes the whole time.
How much of this was maybe just finally getting to take out some aggression against somebody where you just go, you know what, this is more maybe of our speed this year. I mean, nothing against them, but just sometimes it's just nice to just go, we're not facing some of the powerhouses that we have on our schedule, and let's just somebody that we're a little more evenly matched with. This is just nice to just not be overmatched going into this one.
Yeah, really. You talk about resistance. Well, they encounter resistance weekly in the CMAC,
sure,
for the most part. Your Rockbridge, your Battle, your Jeff City, even.
Yeah.
Really, Smith Cotton just didn't provide much resistance,
mm-hmm,
and I think once they realized, oh wow, we're having a lot of success, it really just snowballed.
Sure.
Like it has on the opposite side for them. So it was, again, you know, neat to see them get a win. Collier's first win as a head coach. First CMAC victory in program history,
mm-hmm,
at the varsity level. And homecoming senior night. It's a very feel-good win.
Sure.
But you absolutely have to turn the page, because what's this season if you're trying to build a program?
True.
What's this season if really you're just going to lose the last 2, maybe bow out in the first week of districts, just another 1-win season?
And
that's not what they're looking to do.
Right. And while we will turn the page in just a second, I also think one last button to put on this thing from the standpoint of it is still a young program. It's still in its infancy. The one thing that is hard sometimes for teams in their infancy, and that are teams that are still trying to figure out how to win and how to be established programs, is to sometimes win a game where you're expected to win. And I think they were probably the favorite going into this game, should have been favored and should have been expected to win. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's easier said than done for teams that haven't had much experience winning.
Right.
It's hard to go out there and deal with expectations when people go, hey, you guys are supposed to win tonight. Well, sometimes that's hard when you haven't figured out how to win at all.
Right.
So good on them for being able to do what they should have been able to do, which is go out there and beat a team that they should beat. So right. I think that's another positive you can take away from this game from the standpoint of, you go, you know what, you guys should have won it, and you did everything you needed to do to make sure you did win it.
Right. I think, you know, the saying is ignorance is bliss. I think that's the case in this point. Like, you're just not too familiar with winning and what it takes to do that just yet. I think not having that experience of winning kind of helped.
Okay.
You know, without those expectations of, all right, well, you're supposed to win this game. Well, they just kind of rolled the ball out there and took advantage, quite honestly.
So we now turn our focus to CMAC play is over. You're going to end the year with two, you know, non-conference games. And you're gonna finish with 2-4-3 teams right now at this point. You're gonna play at Winnetonka. You're gonna play at Kirksville. The first one in front of you is at Winnetonka. So I guess the you've played a bunch of people who are very familiar with you. You're gonna be playing somebody that's maybe not so familiar with you, and you're not so familiar with them. So what does this week bode for the Cavaliers?
Really, the pass defense has to be shored up.
Okay.
I wrote about it this week. Yeah, they play a Kansas City center team in week two after Battle had their COVID problems. That game gets ictioned. Center ripped them. 283 yards, 4 touchdowns, 14 completions. I mean, when you only complete 14 balls and you still get almost 300 yards, that's really shredding a pass defense. So the pass defense has to be really good for Capital City, especially going up against a Division I wide receiver, an Iowa State recruit that Winnetonka has. It's going to be a challenge. And if they can slow them down, kind of like they did against Smith Cotton as far as starting fast, maybe you take the air out of the stadium as visitors, I think you got a chance. Because really, if you think about it and look at the schedule, this is Capital City's first road trip in... gosh, 3 weeks, because you've been playing in Jefferson City
sure. The
last 3 weeks, where you were home, and then you played Jefferson City Elias.
It's a Winnetonka team that, yes, does have a Division I recruit on its team. Hasn't necessarily translated into a ton of wins. I mean,
right.
You know, so it almost leads you to believe that, okay, what do they have besides him, and how complete a team are they? Mm-hmm. And it's also a team that struggled the last 2 weeks. Now, granted,
yep. It's
not like they're struggling against just anybody. They lost 42-14 to Kearney, and they lost 35-0 to Platte County. So it's teams with good pedigrees. It's teams that are traditionally very good. So it's not maybe surprising that they lost to those two. But again, it's a team that's coming on a 2-game skid, mm-hmm. and it's just a matter of, well, let's maybe try to keep them skidding at this point. Now, easier said than done sometimes.
Right. You wonder if maybe you're catching them at the right time, being that they're sliding. You could also catch an angry team
right.
that is looking to start trending in the right direction.
Right.
And I think that word trend is something that's been popular too with Capital City. They are constantly wanting to trend upwards.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Does that always translate to wins? No. But what Collier has pointed out is that get-right game against Elias, they took a lot of positives.
Sure.
Obviously, no, you don't win 31-0, but Elias is Elias,
right.
Okay? You kind of take that with a grain of salt. You keep building. You actually make the plays that were available to you against Elias. You make those against Smith Cotton.
Yep.
So really, it's just trending upwards. And even, again, you hate moral victories as
right.
a coach, but if you're in a competitive game late into the fourth quarter and maybe, you know, a ball doesn't bounce your way and you get beat, I think you can be satisfied if you're Capital City in doing that this week.
So I guess that gets us to the prediction point. And how do you see that this one plays out on Friday night?
I think it's kind of like I talked about. I don't think there will be a clear winner until the fourth quarter.
Okay.
I just think Capital City is trending in the right direction. You know, Winnetonka has been up and down. You talk about the quality of their schedule. It's kind of hard to predict what exactly you're going to see. If you're Capital City, you're going to face a pretty dynamic offense. I also think you're going to be able to move the ball okay. over Natanka, too. I see this one. I see both teams in the 20s. You know, I could see it 27-23 either way, quite honestly.
Okay. So if I had to press you a little bit and say which way do you think it goes?
I'll say Winnetonka, and I'll hope Capital City hears this and maybe is motivated. I just think maybe Winnetonka the last couple of years, you know, more experience,
sure.
Maybe some more senior leadership as far as their playmakers. I like them in a close ball game, 27-23, something like that, 27-24. Okay. But, you know, if Capital City can make those impact plays defensively, sacks, safeties, forced fumbles, interceptions, again, that can easily swing the tide of the game. Also, I'd like to highlight Ian Nelson. Had two punts downed at the one. That's hard enough for college and pro teams to
right.
do. For a high school team, I've never seen a high school team pin two punts at the one.
Yeah.
Even things like that. All right, those punts allow you to get those safeties.
Sure.
So if they can put together a full game, all three facets of the game, special teams, defense, offense, I like Capital City's chances to pull an upset.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Adam Feiner, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.